your producer-host, Justin Jones, and Talk Dance is a sporadic series of conversations with the creators of the Walker Art Center's dance programming. For this episode, I spoke with Aparna Ramaswamy, co-artistic director of Minneapolis's own Ragamala Dance Company, about their upcoming premiere, Song of the Jasmine, a meditation on the poetry of 6th century Indian poet Andal, and a first-time collaboration with jazz saxophonist and composer Rudresh Mahanthappa. Song of the Jasmine runs May 15th through the 18th. Thanks for listening and enjoy. So, I am talking with Aparna Ramaswamy about their upcoming show, Song of the Jasmine.
Yes.
Opening at the Walker just next week. And I'm sure you're very, very, very busy right now with every single element of the production. And I just want to start by saying thanks so much for taking some time out of your schedule to talk about the piece.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Let's start talking about the title.
So, we came up with the title because we're very interested in the concepts of the sensual and the spiritual and this dual plane and how these two concepts are interplayed in Indian art forms. The idea of the spiritual and the sensual coming together is a very strong part of Indian poetry, Indian music, and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, the jasmine flower is a symbol of the sensual and the spiritual. It is used in rituals and in worship, but it's also worn by women. The fragrance is extremely evocative of the sensuality, and so it plays many roles in Indian society.
Can you just talk a little bit more about maybe an example of how you see those two worlds coming together, maybe in the poetry of the poet whose work you're working from in this? Could you say the name of the poet?
Yes, yeah. The poet's name is Andal,
mm-hmm.
And this work, we're inspired by many, many things in creating this work, but we feel guided by her poetry, and I say the word guided very specifically because there's no spoken text. It's all instrumental.
Mm-hmm. In the work.
In the work.
Yeah.
And so we use the concepts in her poetry and specific lines of her poetry as guides and inspirations when we create the work.
Hmm.
And so Andal is a 6th century mystic poet. She was very young, and she had this very, very deep love and longing for the divine, for Vishnu or Krishna, depending on which incarnation you're thinking about. And she thought of him as her lover. And so rather than thinking of him as something removed and something that required worship and ritual, which also does play into it, but she very boldly thought of him as her lover and longed, deeply yearned for union with him.
Hmm.
And so this idea of the human soul wanting to unite with the divine or the cosmic consciousness, we use human love and sensuality as an allegory for that. And so it's a very contemporary feeling that all of us can understand, but really it's this feeling of transcendence and soaring and spiritual union. So rather than tell the life story, her life story, or take the poetry from the beginning to the end, rather than create that sort of narrative arc, what we are doing is creating these emotional states as she describes them, these states of longing and anguish and desire, surrender, appeal. So again, going back to the idea of Andal's poetry guiding this work, it's guiding the emotional tenor of this work, and creating these states of being that we can all relate to. So I'd love for you to phrase the question exactly like you told me.
Okay. The question I will ask you is,
How do the ideas of innovation and tradition play out in this work?
Okay, so when you told me earlier, you said innovation versus tradition.
I did say versus, yeah. But yes. You know what, as I'm saying it again, I don't want to say versus because I don't feel like it's exclusive.
They're not exclusive.
Exactly.
So that was the
yeah.
point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
Perfect, I'm so glad that we got
yeah.
there. So they are absolutely not exclusive.
Right, right.
So for us, tradition is something that we hold very closely. We are very proud of the tradition we come from. And when we say tradition, it's a very specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about dance, we come from an ancient form that is codified. But within that form, we come from a certain school. And within that school, we come from a certain teacher
mm-hmm.
who comes from a very specific lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are the next part of that lineage.
Mm-hmm.
So our teacher has a very clear style that we have learned for decades.
Who's your teacher?
Alarmail Valli.
Mm-hmm. And where
is... She lives
is...
in India,
okay.
in Madras, India. And we've studied with her for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And... she has given us such a strong sense of the form and the freedom within the form.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is up to us now to decide where our freedoms are
mm-hmm.
and what of the form we will take.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does, all of that education and language and tradition, is that it gives you this large... framework. And those rules are actually very freeing because it gives you so much knowledge. It's like having a dictionary, and it's like all of this information that has completely, that you have embodied because you have done it for so long that it has been thought out for centuries and generations.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that, you internalize it, and then when you create work, that's part of what you create.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a person of this time.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is a person of this time. We are of different generations, so we talk and we meet and we have different things that we hold dearly and different sensibilities that we've gotten from watching and listening to work here in this country. And that's always going to be contemporary. But it just gives you a language to use and it gives you reference points.
Mm-hmm.
We don't create anything but Bharatanatyam, but what does that mean? That means we have a language that we use, but poets use a language very freely to create new work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we create work with many different dimensions and layers that use Bharatanatyam, but that will look very different and feel very different because of the music and all of the different strategies that we're employing, having heard of the music,
mm-hmm.
having heard the music and seeing and hearing the poetry and reading the poetry. So that's how a work evolves for us.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back and talk a little bit more about working with Rudresh. And one thing I was really curious to know is how working with him as a composer for this work has, you know, what about his process has affected your process? What about his music has really had an impact on the choreographic choices that you're making?
Sure. So working with Rudresh has just been wonderful. It's
yeah.
been really an amazing experience. And you can't say that about every collaborator.
No.
You know, when you go into a collaboration, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we saw him several years ago when he's at the Walker, and we loved his work, and I really wanted to create a piece with him. So while a big inspiration for this project is actually creating dance for his music, and how do Indian Americans living in this country who work in different forms and who have different relationships with their tradition meet on stage and create a voice, it also needs to go deeper and have a thematic base for us. So that's one theme. But also, if we were very interested in having this poetic foundation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then while we were working, what I loved is that he's so grounded in jazz, and they have all of these different, what is the word? I should just say structures and different ways that they approach music that's very different from our experience. Mm. And so it just makes one push themselves so much more and feel that, oh, this is a really interesting musical choice. I guess I wouldn't have made that, but I love it, so we're going to work this way. We have one section where there are three of us dancing, my family, me and my sister and my mom. We're doing this trio where we have the poetry in our minds and we have some choreography in our minds. But for 10 minutes, the three of us are improvising at the same time. We're not watching each other at all. Mm. We each have our own place, and it's all narrative. Mm-hmm. And we're completely improvising. Mm. And we've never done that before.
Wow.
It's very... In our form, traditionally, our form is performed by one person.
Yeah.
So when I do a solo performance, an hour and a half to 2 hours, where the dancer takes the audience and does this journey on her own, and it's really amazing with the musicians. So in that way, you can improvise. But when you have a group of dancers, it's not easy.
Right.
And so we have found ways to do that, and then found ways to layer the choreography much more than we've ever done before, because the music feels so layered. And so I think it's been a wonderful process back and forth of being inspired by the different, for lack of a better term, strategies or just ways or aesthetics that we both use. And so when he's composing the music and Ronnie and I are choreographing, we'll say, you know, actually, that's a really different way to look at it. Let's try that.
You mentioned your family and that mm-hmm. Ragamala is a family business.
Yes, it is.
And that's certainly not my experience of being a choreographer and being an art maker and being a performer and being a student and being a teacher, which I, from what I know about Ragamala, those are all things that everybody, that you and your mom and your sister are doing.
Right.
And so what to you is has been special or challenging or... inspiring about working in that, you know, within the structure of your family?
Sure.
Yeah.
So my mother, Ronnie, and I create all of our work together. And we have for many, many years. And we started working together when I was very young, when we both met our teacher at the same time. So she had already been dancing. I had just started a couple of years earlier. And so... when you connect with a mentor like that, or someone who makes such a deep impact in your life, and you have someone to share that with, that bond between the two of you is very strong. Mm-hmm. And so even though obviously there was the age difference and your mother and daughter, it never felt like that. Huh. We were always so connected, and it takes a certain personality type to have that. Not everyone can do this with their family.
Yeah.
But just our love for the form, but more specifically our teacher and how she expressed the form was so great, and our commitment was so strong. And it's many, many years now that we've gone to India, spent so much time, learned together, come back with the material, shared together, made sure that we've held on to this material like it's a treasure, mm-hmm. and worked to share it with people here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have had this relationship ever since I was a young child. I think we don't know how else to be. And so now, I mean, I'm not an adult now. I've been an adult for a long time. But we have been creating together for a long time. And we almost, I will tell you, Justin, we create almost like every movement together.
Wow.
And, or someone will, you know, if we do decide, okay, I'll just work on this, then you come back and... that person will have something else to say. And we're very different people.
Mm-hmm.
And we take inspiration from different things. But we work very well together. We complement each other. And we balance each other out. We have very different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for us.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't argue. We're all passionate people, of course.
Right.
The artists are. And we do argue.
Yeah.
But our bond is so strong. And it works for us. We feel that we create much better work together.
Yeah.
And it's a very equal partnership. It's an interesting thing because sometimes we come across that as well, because she's the mother and I'm the daughter. is there a stronger force? You know, is one person doing more? Is one person carrying the other? But it's not like that for us. And so we've, the last several years, we've really been trying to communicate that to people, that this is an equal partnership that really works for us. Mm-hmm. And so we, and so that's how we work. And my sister is a dancer with the company and is dancing, has been here for a few years now after moving to New York and coming back. Mm-hmm. And so she's a very strong part of the company. She's choreographing herself now. Mm-hmm. And she works on the administrative side and the publicity and marketing with us too.
Okay.
And so our five dancers right now, so Tamara, Jessica, Shwini, and Ronnie and I, we all feel very invested in the work, in the history, where Ragamal has been, in the future. So we don't have dancers that come in and out. Mm-hmm. We're all here for the long term. And so it's a really nice feeling. It feels like everyone is family. Mm-hmm. And that's an easy thing to say, but I really mean it.
Yeah. Well, I hear my experience of working on so many projects and working with different people is that you come together, you form a kind of a family together, working towards this goal, and then the show is over and the family sort of disintegrates and you keep making new ones. But you have this really amazing thing where you create the family, and then after a project is over, it's still there, like that foundation, that trust, that understanding is still sort of supporting you, even like outside of the work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, yes, because as you know, when you're creating work, it's not just the time that you spend in the studio.
Yeah.
It's writing about it, thinking about it, doing research, writing grants, talking about it. And so when you have a group of people who are working on every project together or as invested, you can talk all the time about the work. And it does get to be much. I mean, mm-hmm. it can be too much sometimes. But everyone knows where you're at. And to this day, when we tour, we still eat dinner together every single night. We have every meal together. It's not mandatory, but we really like hanging out together.
Maybe we could just talk a little bit more specifically about Bharatanatyam dance. And my understanding, which is not huge, but my understanding of it is that it is, as you mentioned, a solo form, traditionally a solo form, and traditionally a narrative form. I'm just curious about how does the narrative that's sort of a part of the form, how does that ebb and flow, or how does that manifest in this work?
So in our form, technically, mm-hmm. the basics of our form, we have two aspects. Mm-hmm. One is this rhythmic abstract aspect, mm-hmm. and one is the narrative aspect. Mm-hmm. So in this rhythmic aspect, you can use different rhythmic movements, you can create movements, mm-hmm. you use some hand gestures. Mm-hmm. As ornamentation, mm-hmm. it's very symmetrical and linear and really brings to life the complexity and the interesting qualities of the music. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing with the abstract form. Mm-hmm. And then the other form we have different ways of expressing. We express alt, and you have to use them all. You express with the body, which includes 28 single-handed and 24 double-handed gestures. Mm-hmm. You express with...
Are those called mudras?
Yes.
Okay.
And you express with some words, mm-hmm. or spoken words, or as we're saying now, just words that we are internalizing. Costume, mm-hmm. is another way. And when I say another way, is they're all together. We say we have four.
Right.
And then the fourth is that of sentiment or emotion.
Okay.
And so we have these nine... let's say nine basic emotions, but they're things like love, anger, bravery. None of them stand alone. As humans, we feel everything in shades and mixed. You know, love doesn't involve just love, but it involves sadness and anguish and pain and longing, mm-hmm. and all of those things. So the emotional content is very important. So we express using these four things. Mm-hmm. And then when one dances, what we may do is we have words, let's say, if I'm doing a classical piece, words that you can do a word-to-word description, mm-hmm. with your hand gestures and your body, mm-hmm. and then you can elaborate on that. Mm-hmm. So let's say there's a song that a song that is my teacher's choreography that I do, at such a time when my longing for you is so great, why do you act indifferent? You can elaborate on that for 20 minutes. And the singer will sing the same line again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And depending on the skill of the dancer and the imagination, you can create scenarios that you fill within that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to feel the emotions, and you have to make sure that the audience feels the emotions with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to connect it with the music.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes I tell people in this country, people always ask me, they say, I wish I would understand every gesture, every mudra, every hasta that you're doing. We really want to understand, so then I can understand what you're doing. And we say, you know, it's not about that. Because even if there are sung words, Indians, this is a specific dance language.
Right.
So just because you're Indian doesn't mean you understand all the hand gestures.
Right.
They may understand the words of the song if they happen to know the language that it's sung in, but we have many different languages that we work with it.
Right.
So that may not be. So then all of these other things, when you create the setting and you are the person and you feel it, and that is what a person should understand or feel.
Hmm.
Not every single word that's being described. It's not, you know, I went to the store to buy this. It's not, you don't need to know that.
Right.
So I would hope that audiences feel that that's very freeing rather than feeling tied to a specific. You know, when I see contemporary dance, I don't understand all of your inspirations or everything that you're doing, but I find different entry points and different things to appreciate or be challenged by.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, just because it comes from another, because it's rooted in another culture doesn't mean you don't understand it.
Right.
So in this work, we definitely use both aspects of that form.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we focus on one and we live in that for 10 minutes. Sometimes we go back and forth fleetingly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we mix the two, we'll layer the two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mix of things, the way that we have put them together, but really driven by the choices in the music and then thematically how we wanted to see it come together.
Yeah.
And then when you have five dancers, you can do that.
Yeah.
Do that more.
Yeah. What time is it? I think you need to go.
Yeah, I have to get back to, we have a run at 2 o'clock. But
at 2 o'clock.
Yes.
And it's 1:50. So, oh, it's 2:02. Well, I should let you off to your run.
Well, thank you so much for spending the time.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you so much. And I wish you all the best this week.
Thank you. I hope you will see the show.
I have to make childcare arrangements.
Oh, and then yes, I know there. That well.
Yes.
I know that well.
Yeah, well, when your mom is in the work, she can't just watch the kids.
You know, that's the other thing is that, and when I tour, I lose, there's three of us who are gone. And so it's I lose two of my key babysitters.
Well, thank you so much,
Aparna. Thank you so much.
Yeah.